today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, with the exception of one hotel in San Diego, workers have called off wildcat strikes in San Francisco and Hawaii, and a new survey tells us what you think is the biggest perk from the airlines. Now, what could that be? Those stories next in the news.
We've talked about tipping being out of control more than once right here on this very program, but there is one set of workers Mark tips without hesitation every time he travels. He'll tell us what it is in our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:22.
September is California Wine Month. There are a ton of special events, including one at a Livermore winery where you can catch a falconry demonstration. An awesome interview is coming up at 11:35.
Our Odds and Ends segment at 11:50 features a list of the top complaints by hotel guests. See how many you can recognize.
People who slam doors in hotels, Tom. There's no punishment too great for them. Anyway, another hour of pure travel entertainment coming at you right here with the Travel Guys.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Links to our special guest today and so much more always available for you at TravelGuysRadio.com. Mark, how was your week?
My week was good. I made a short trip up to Oregon to see an old friend that's retiring and see a tour off. That's making its way back down the coast. Gosh, they'll be back in Sacramento tomorrow. Got to see the spruce goose.
The spruce goose?
The spruce goose. You know, anybody under about...
I thought the spruce goose was dead in L.A. or something.
It was for
Vegas.
A while. For anybody who has come to the planet probably since like 1980, 1990, you might not know what the spruce goose is. It's an old wooden, experimental wooden aircraft that Howard Hughes, a billionaire and great aviation man, built during and at the end of World War II, the idea that it was going to be a transport plane. And it only flew once. Got about, I think, 70 to 100 feet all above the water. It was a water aircraft, so it was never designed to land at an airfield or anything like that. Flew once in an experimental flight. Huge aircraft. And it lived in, your memory is correct, it lived at the with the Queen Mary in Long Beach for many years,
right? Mm-hmm.
And then it was dismantled and moved up to Oregon, and it now lives in McMinnville at the Evergreen Aviation and Space Museum, which, by the way, on its own right is a really cool place. But with the spruce goose gives it an even cooler impact, if you will. Last weekend they were having an air show while we were there, so it was all right in tune with everything. But anyway, if you want to see that old aircraft, it's up there in Oregon. It's about 45 minutes from downtown Portland. So cool. If you ever visited the Portland area or you're headed out, it's out in Barrie Country there as you're headed over to the coast in Newport. So it was kind of neat. And I took a group to a Giants game last week on Thursday. As you know, things are kind of winding down for the Giants. We called it a celebration of Giants life. We went to honor the team, which has recently pretty much gone down the tubes for the season. But we did something. I've been taking people to baseball games in San Francisco, Tom, for 46 or 47 years, long time.
And a lifetime, as long as I've been married.
It used to go to this old place called Candlestick Park, where people regularly froze to death. But anyways, we went last week, and for the first time ever, we sat in some different seats. We sat in the club level. We usually sit in the lower level in the box seats under the overhang, so we're out of the sun. And it's a comfortable place. You don't get windblown or sunburned or whatever. So we decided to move up a level to the middle level now, if you will. And boy, howdy, that was just a really good thing. The draw of the middle of the club level at Oracle Park is that the only people who can get onto that level are people who have a ticket.
Right.
So If you, the great unwashed, if you will, that's downstairs crowding the restrooms and the concession stands and all the stuff that goes on, if you've ever been in the ground level of a ballpark or any stadium, there's a lot happening there. This is a level that's a little bit limited in its access. So not everybody can get up there. You've got to have a ticket. And on Thursday, the park wasn't very crowded, so that was an extra plus. But it's something, if you go to ball games trying to make you a smarter traveler, to Giants games in San Francisco, you might want to consider this club level idea. The last three or four rows are in the shade. Actually, the first base side was in the shade most of the day. That could have to do with time of year and all that stuff, so don't take that as gospel. But if it's important to be out of the sun, that's possible. The restroom lines are much shorter. The concourse is much cleaner. The food selections are much more varied, dare I say. There was even a place to get a crab sandwich inside the controlled area there on the plaza level. I think the crab sandwiches now are $137.50 or something like that, you know, ballpark rates. But our folks really liked it, and we have a lot of ladies who travel with us to the ballpark. So restrooms and what shape they're in is really important. That's been a really negative thing about the Oakland Coliseum last 4 or 5 years, is they just let everything break down and go to hell in a handbasket over there. And that's one reason that why their attendance sucks, is because it's not a pleasant place to go to. And the Giants, on the other hand, work really hard to try to keep the ballpark clean and make it a good experience. They have a lot of people around that you can ask questions of. And anyway, you might just take a look at it. When we got out of when the game was over, now this was a little bit of luck, but still, right behind our section was an exit that allowed us to go down an escalator, and literally in 3 minutes from the time we left our seats, we were outside the ballpark. So none of the back and forth ramps or waiting for an elevator or anything. We got down really quickly, and a small commercial for Sports Leisure Vacations. Our bus was parked about 300 feet from the door. So we were able to get out of Dodge a little bit quicker. And, of course, it's a long traffic fight to get back home. But anyway, if you're going to a Giants game next year, or even if you're going to be at one before the season is over and you haven't bought your tickets yet, the tickets on that plaza level are generally about the same cost as the tickets below them in the lower deck. So ballpark tickets have gone up quite a bit, but if you pick, you know, the right game, you're not going to see the Dodgers or the Yankees. Why, this is all dynamic pricing these days. So take a look at those plaza level tickets, especially if you're, you know, a little bit older, or you're going with some folks that, you know, maybe you're taking your parents or something like that. You'd like to have it's a very civilized place to watch a baseball game.
Outstanding. So well, great information. It only took you 47 years to figure this out.
It's... Yeah, and 5 minutes to explain it on the radio.
Well, that the club level's for me. All right. What do we do? Oh, yeah, that's right. At the top of every radio show, Travel Guys radio show, somewhere near the top, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And once again, back to Mark for the travel news. What do you got today for
us,
Mark?
That. Somewhere near the top of the show. listen, we didn't talk really a lot about this last week. But some wildcat hotel strikes went on, which really only would have gotten you if you were going to one of a major city like Honolulu, San Diego, San Francisco. There were a couple of others that had, Seattle had a hotel or two. Their point was they're trying to negotiate a new contract, so they struck at selected places. Only one hotel, the Hilton San Diego Bayfront. So if you're headed to the Hilton San Diego Bayfront, check status. It's still open. But a bunch of workers, about 10,000, walked out on Sunday and Monday. They're having trouble getting a new contract. They were trying to make a point. This is one of the ways that you do that. And doesn't completely shut the hotel down, but makes everybody's life super miserable who is working there, because, of course, you've got no housekeepers. You've got no back-of-the-house people. So these folks work really hard. And actually, we've got a little bit of our program dedicated to some of the back-of-the-house hotel staff later on, but there are some more strikes that have been authorized. New Haven, Connecticut, Oakland, Providence, Rhode Island. So it's possible you could run into this if you are out traveling. You're a business traveler. You stay in an upscale property. It's entirely, you know, it's a long shot, but you might run into it. So Google hotel strikes in the city that you're headed for before you head there if you want. But again, this is kind of this is a back of the house. You know, they paid off. It's like the airlines. They paid off the pilots first, and now the flight attendants and the ramp workers want their share. And so it's the same way with the hotels. You know, management has gotten their raises, so now the people who are on the lower levels, they would like to see a little of that too. You're charging $250 for a hotel room you charged $150 for 4 years ago, and everybody around me is making more money, I would like to see a little of that money too. You can't hardly blame these people, since you could make a real argument that they work harder than just about anybody else in the system. More on that later. Americans back biometric screening at airports, Tom. 79% of air travelers, according to the U.S. Travel Association, supported using biometrics to confirm passenger identity at hotel security checkpoints. I have Clear because I'm a high-level United flyer. I wouldn't pay for Clear if I didn't get it for free. But it is a nice thing to have, and they use biometrics.
And now, when you say biometrics, so that folks are clear as to what that is, that's primarily a retina scan, is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. And Clear allows you to use that as one of your alternative ID things. You know, you can use your fingerprints or to verify who you are. So, interesting, though, that's 4 out of 5 travelers would be okay with a machine that took pictures of your face and verified you that way before you got on board an aircraft. So that's kind of a high number. I mean, that's why I thought it was interesting. What do you think is the most coveted perk for airlines for travelers? I thought it was going to be first class upgrades for people who might be eligible for them, but that's not correct.
The most coveted perk.
Yeah.
Would that include legroom?
It would include legroom, yes.
I would say legroom is how many inches? 32, 34 would be number one.
You would be wrong, pantyhose breath. The 63% of travelers said, out of these are 1,700 that travel port surveyed, 63%, pretty good number, said the number of free carry-on or checked bags included in the fare was the most important factor in choosing a flight. And you know, the people at Southwest, who have been redoing their system, insisted that they were not going to change the two free bag thing. At least with this tiny piece of information, kind of sort of sounds like they were right.
Well, you know, nobody else has free bags except for Southwest. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, and unless you're flying on like a premium ticket, a first class ticket, or something like that, or you've got a certain credit card get you.
Well,
if you've got the United credit
free
card.
Bags, that's no doubt. I take my guess back.
That's $35-$40 a bag every time. You know, you're traveling with the family. You could pay what? If you had two kids, mom and dad, each one had a checked bag, and you're flying round trip, that's, do the math, that's $320 extra. You could take everybody out to a really nice restaurant but for that kind of money. But anyways, free baggage is what is the most important, which also might explain why Frontier and Spirit are having more issues these days, because they charge for everything, just give you that really cheap ticket price, and then try to make it up in other places. It sounds like the traveling public might be getting a little smarter.
I don't know if it would like to see it have an effect on some of these airlines and cut back on the baggage charges to kind of help folks out.
Maybe travelers are just getting smarter. Yeah. You never know. After all these years of the travel guys, that would be a wonderful thing to happen. DOT is investigating airline loyalty programs. This was kind of interesting. I'm going to get him on to talk about this in the next week or two. Our buddy Chris Elliott issued a story, I believe it was Monday, that said, isn't it about time that these guys float these mileage thing redemptions all over the place, and nobody regulates this or anything? Isn't it about time that maybe there was some regulation of this? The next day, the Department of Transportation announced that they were investigating airline loyalty programs. So DOT has asked United, Delta, American, and Southwest to provide detailed information about their loyalty programs, which the agency is investigating with a focus on the devaluation of earned rewards. In other words, it was 40,000 when you started earning the miles and you went to redeem it, and now it's 80,000 for the same reward. Hidden or dynamic pricing, extra fees, and with reduced competition in choice. It's amazing it took them so long to figure this out, but the airlines are absolutely putting the screws to people with the frequent flyer programs. I mean, that's just, they move the goalposts all the time. They tell you, they sell you these, get you on these cards by telling you that you've got this great bonus and here's what you can get with the bonus. And by the time you go to do it, the bonus doesn't come anywhere near getting you that. Or if you'd have flown on the first Tuesday after New Year's and come back the following Tuesday, you would have gotten that price, but that's the only time that it exists any time during the year. So the whole points miles thing, I play the game. I'm a tour operator. I earn a lot of miles and points by taking people places, so I'm able to use those for my staff when they have an illness or a family member or something like that. I can use them to, I can spread them around. I can upgrade my tour directors on flights and things like that with them. But the reality is that most people aren't able to use them that way. And so if you are a person who collects miles and points, having somebody to oversee this a little bit would not be a bad idea at all. If the airlines and the other people who have these, listen, my company has a frequent traveler program. We keep it incredibly simple. You know, it amounts to about a 1-2% rebate when you redeem things. And lots and lots and lots of, you know, everybody from McDonald's to everybody has these loyalty programs now. So it's not just airlines.
That's for sure. And like you say, it's just a matter of, well, here again, keeping track of it and use it before you lose it and all of that. And it can become a nuisance. Southwest is who I fly with. Theirs is pretty basic. It's pretty simple. They do spend a lot of time mining me for to sell me more points. Or, it, like you say, if I book before next Tuesday, I can get a free flight before the following Tuesday. And but other than that, and here again, you know, they don't go very far. You get 100,000 points, you think that's going to get you something, and you look, and that's going to get you halfway across the country.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So it wouldn't be a bad thing, I don't think, for there to be a little bit of regulation there. All right, one more story here before we wrap up the news. The world's oldest travel brand has a new home. ThomasCook.com. Again, you have to have been on the planet for a few years to be familiar with this, but at one point in time, Thomas Cook was the biggest travel company on the planet. They were founded in the UK in 1841. So they collapsed in 2019.
Around longer than you. just barely.
Yeah, just barely. They collapsed in 2019 due to heavy debt. They were taken over by a Chinese company, which has basically rehabilitated them. And so now they are going to expand their holiday package business in Western Europe. And they're making a comeback. ThomasCook.com. Mm-hmm. And that's your travel news for today.
We are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, and speaking of travel news, it's time to let you know about Rudy's newest special, and this one is extremely special. If you're into value when you dine out at your favorite restaurant, like Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House, they've got a new limited-time special. It's amazing. It's a petit filet mignon and a petite lobster tail dinner, the both, for $34.95. Now, it's quite the bang for your buck with a hand-cut charbroiled petite filet mignon, cooked just the way you like it, paired with a petite lobster tail with drawn butter and fresh lemon.
Yeah. Wait. The lobster tail and the steak with drawn butter? Is that, do they bring you like a paper and pen and you draw your own butter? Is that the way that thing? It seems like if $34.95 a nice restaurant like that, they would just bring you a stick of butter instead of making you draw your own.
You know, you're like a lot of folks, Mark, that doesn't know what drawn butter is. You know what clarified butter is?
Is that named after somebody or?
Yeah, well, the drawn butter, I think, really basically is it's butter that's been warmed up. Clarified butter, they remove stuff like the fats and so forth. And you'll notice it being different in that it's actually very, very clear, but it's much the same. So
get on with the lobster and the steak.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, you also get their fresh asparagus, which is to die for. If you like asparagus, I've never had any asparagus better than what they serve at Rudy's. And then their sourdough French bread is... It can spoil your dinner when you get it. You get it at the beginning of the dinner, and you're waiting for your cocktail or whatever, and next thing you know, you're on your third piece, and you're ready to say, you know what, I'm not hungry anymore. It's all there for you for only $34.95, and always the Travel Guy special for $29.95 for a 6-ounce lobster tail. Rudy's Hideaway, easy to find, just off Highway 50 at Hazel. Okay, let's get to it. Mark, there is one category of tipping that you never hesitate to do when you travel. Let's talk about it.
Housekeepers. Housekeepers. They are the hardest working people in the system. If you listen to this program, you've heard me say this before, but, you know, we're always asked as travelers to tip. Everybody's always got their hand out. I just think, and another thing that people really don't think about with this refreshing of rooms as opposed to completely cleaning rooms and giving people, more people opting to leave the do not disturb sign on their door. And what happens is that after 3 days of the do not disturb sign, people leave and the housekeeper's got 25 minutes to clean the room, and there's no way in hell they can get it done in that period of time because the room's a disaster. So part of this wildcat hotel strikes in Hawaii and Los Angeles and San Diego in recent weeks has been over housekeeping work rules. So that these people either, they're saying we can't get it done in the period of time that you wanted to get it done, the game has changed. Anyways, I tip the housekeepers. Oftentimes I get a nice note or a smile in the hallway or just a super clean room. I get better service because I tip. That isn't always the case everywhere you tip. Anyway, tip the housekeeper. That's my rule.
Well, I have to agree. Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys with you, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for coming along. You know, did you know that this is California Wine Month? That's right. We talked about it last year about this same time, and we thought we would kind of bring you up to date on some activities and things that are going around in the California area and that have to do with wine, and this is certainly wine country, to say the least. We have a very special guest, Jana Barkley. She's a falconer.
You did it.
Oh, a falconer. I did it wrong. Yeah. Let me try that again. our special guest is Jana Barkley. She is a falconer. And we'll find out more about what that is in just a moment. She's with something called the Falcon and Wine Experience, which is at the Murrieta's Well Winery there in Livermore. So let's bring her on and talk a little bit about California Wine Month and what it is she does as a falconer. Jana, thanks for joining us here on the Travel Guys.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm definitely a falconer, not a falconeer, which sounds like a buccaneer.
It does, yeah.
But no, falconry is a hunting sport, but we have a special permit here in the vineyard from U.S. Fish and Wildlife to practice bird abatement. And our role, which is one of the sustainable practices that are so important here in California sustainable vineyards, is to chase the pest birds away so we can get these grapes to harvest. Hawks and falcons are predators, and when we fly the birds, it chases the starlings and the pest birds out so that the grapes can be unmolested.
Fascinating.
See, Tom, I knew there was a tie to this somehow. Of why would there be falcons around a winery? And Jana has the answer. This is so cool. So as part of people gathering for a wine tasting, they come to Murrieta's Well Winery and you give them a falconry demonstration? Is that show them how this all works?
Mostly what I do is meet them and introduce them to the hawks and the falcons that we use in the vineyard. We do a mild demonstration. We do fly a hawk so that they can see the difference between a hawk and a falcon, and they're allowed to ask questions about how we protect the grapes and basically the lifestyle. They also get to take pictures of the birds, which is always fun. Mm-hmm. And everybody has tons of questions about hawks and falcons, especially seeing them up close, which is so rare and unique.
This is cool. This is really cool. So have you done this previously at the same winery?
They're just starting opening this up. People coming in who have seen the birds are just fascinated with them, and because of the growth of the interest, especially in sustainability, it just seemed to naturally happen and morph into this really wonderful open experience.
Wow, this is cool. A reminder, we're talking about a falconry and wine tasting experience. This is on next Saturday, September the 14th. It is not free, as you might have imagined. There's a $50 ticket charge. It's in Livermore at Murrieta's Well Winery. And I will tell you that in addition to this event, we're going to talk about a few other ones that are part of Wine Month here in just a moment. They are all can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. We have a link to them all. So if the falconry sounds cool to you or any of the other things we talk about, you can find a list with other details and addresses of the wineries and all that kind of jazz. So if you're... If this excites you, because it does me, I think this is just, Jan, I think this is just really unique. Tell us a little bit about what people will learn. I mean, I know you kind of talked about it in generalities there in your last answer, but specifically, a little bit more of what you will teach people about falconry.
Absolutely. Falconry started as a hunting sport, but because the birds lend themselves to being able to help in so many different venues commercially, it's a beautiful, green, eco-safe way to protect what we're doing out here in the vineyard. They're going to learn the difference between what is a hawk and what is a falcon, something that's always fascinating, especially as the participants are standing as close as 3 feet away, and we take the time to introduce every aspect of each bird, actually flying the hawk and showing how the hawk flies and what it does, and people just find that extremely fascinating.
Now, we have visions of people with falcons on their arms, you know, and you're wearing a big leather glove so you don't get your talons don't poke you, and they're wearing and then they're wearing one of those little covers over their heads. And you take the cover off so they can take the cover off and then they can see and then you let them go. Is it anything like that?
I'm the only one wearing the glove for this demonstration.
Right.
And yes, the falcon is hooded, and we talk about the reason for that.
Uh-huh.
Because their eyesight is incredible. If you had my falcon's eyesight, you could read a book from 2 miles away. That's oversimplifying it. But it gives you an idea of how sensitive they are.
A mile away.
So if this all sounds as neat to you as it does to me, you can see it in person next Saturday night in Livermore. There also are some other wonderful activities here in the wine country. In Oakville on the 21st, there's a fruit to wine, the magic of harvest, where you get to walk the vineyard with the winemaker to gather grapes and learn all about them. There are Clarksburg Country Nights at the Bogle Family Vineyards in Clarksburg on the Saturday the 28th of the month. Lodi has their annual grape festival also next weekend, the 12th through the 15th. So again, we will put links to all of these at travelguysradio.com so that you can find them in case some of them sound interesting. And those are just a sample. There is like 4 dozen events. There's more events than you could ever possibly hope to attend, but all over the wine country. And but I really think that this one down in Livermore with the falconry, with the falconer telling you about falconry. That's not easy to say.
I know. If you're just joining us, our special guest, Jana Barkley, a falconer with the Falcon and Wine Experience there in Livermore at the Murrieta's Well Winery. You mentioned that you use hawks in a similar fashion. How much of the activity in regards to the hawks is different than the falcons?
Well, falcons tend to be much more aerial in their flights. Hawks tend to be much more ground-oriented. If you think about the wild red-tailed hawks, usually if they're not flying, you see them sitting on tall perches like telephone poles.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to fly them through the vines, with a lower trajectory for the little birds that like to hide in the vines. The falcon is good for the starlings. They tend to clear the sky over the vines because the starlings are much more aerial focused. Think of the falcon like the arrow and the hawk is like the shotgun.
I see. We have small dogs that visit us, and we have hawks that fly the area. And I want you to know, we keep a very close eye when we go out back to take a look in the sky, see if we see any hawks. You know, the little birds in the neighborhood are in jeopardy, too, to a degree, but that's okay. But we want to keep an eye on our small pets. I suppose that could also be an issue in your area, too, right?
Well, yes, of course. Actually, in falconry, we do work with dogs, and I do have a dog who runs the vines, but that's with the falcons. The hawks, on the other hand, little dogs, yeah, you need to be careful. Actually, the number one predator of, you know, kitties, outdoor kitties, and little dogs is the great horned owl, because they can carry twice their weight.
Oh, yeah.
Hawks, on the other hand, can only carry about a third of their weight. They might grab the dog, though, but, yeah, you got to be careful.
Right. At nighttime, when we let them out, we're always listening. You can't see them, but you got to be listening if you happen to hear the owls.
This is why Stephanie does not allow you out in the backyard by yourself during certain times of
the day. You don't know how much truth there is in that, that's for sure. Yeah.
Gina, thank you so much for sharing information with us about falconry. And you are a falconer. And so if you want to not only learn something, I think it's really cool when you travel, if you could combine, you know, like going and tasting some great wines and learning something that you don't know anything about, really presents a great opportunity. So, Gina, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing all this great information with us. Again, you can find out more about this and other Wine Month events at TravelGuysRadio.com.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, that was a fun interview, and I'm listening to it, and I'm thinking if I just tuned in the middle of this, or right near the beginning, I would go, what am I listening to? What kind of a show is this?
Yeah, exactly.
And then we said, hey, this is the Travel and Entertainment guy, so, well, you got to travel for the winery, and
who would
certainly
know?
This falconer and the falconry thing was very interesting.
Yeah, who would know that those two would tie together in an environmentally friendly way, because the big birds take care of the little birds. So,
yeah,
you know, the problem is resolved. No chemicals, no whatever.
There you go. And at the beginning of the interview, she told us that they had to get a special approval from some government agency, basically, to be allowed to use birds in this fashion in the wine industry. So it's very, very cool. All right, my friends.
Awesome.
Links to Jenna Barkley and a list of places to go and enjoy California Wine Month can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Okay, this is going to be a fun little conversation and an interesting perspective into staying in hotels and how we feel about it.
I got one thing before we get to that. This is kind of a fun segment, so this isn't really kind of a fun announcement, but our buddy Rick Steves has been diagnosed with prostate cancer. So it's not, at least currently, it's not life-threatening. He's going to have surgery in the fall, so it was announced. I don't know. I think it was just before the program last week, and I forgot to mention it. But anyway, he's a friend of the Travel Guys, so we wish him well. This is, prostate cancer is the second most common cancer among men. 11% of us will get it at some point in time. So, anyways, hey, and also with the housekeeping thing, I don't know if I talked about this very much, but $3-4 is generally what I leave housekeepers. You know, if I were in a suite or I threw a party in my room or something like that. But and considering that travel these days, how expensive travel is, what is $3-4? Anyways,
honestly,
So we got this list of things that people who stay in hotels have submitted as complaints, and I confess that where this came from has gotten disconnected from the list. So I can't attribute this to whomever, put it out. But as I went down the list, I thought a lot of these were things that I could identify with. And please, Thomas, jump in and represent our listeners here when I hit one that hits you. Blackout curtains that are not hung correctly. So you have a huge gap to let the sun through. So you pull the curtains at night, and you think that, you know, you've shut out the and you're on the sun side of the hotel. So the sun comes up 6:30 in the morning, and there's a big old hole in the curtains. And no matter what you do, you can't get the curtains to shut out that hole. You ever had that happen?
Almost always. I think that's intentional. I think they want you to get up and get out. So that they can clean your room. I think it's almost intentional because it just can't be that way all the time without it being intentional.
Here's another person complaining about the curtains and then says, plus a flashing light on the ceiling for the smoke alarms. Now, I've seen that one, and I know people that have bugs, but that's never gotten to me. Chipping away at gym hours and breakfast hours. On Sunday, our breakfast service begins at 9 a.m. So the idea is, of course, is that if they chip away at the breakfast hours, fewer people will eat the free breakfast.
I see. Uh-huh. Well, my complaint a lot of times is that, particularly if it's a place that I'm going, like, let's say you're in Vegas, someplace where you're out late, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, you're up till 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and you go to bed and you want to sleep in, and you're fighting the light beaming through the curtains. And you want to get up, and you finally get up to go down and have some breakfast, and they closed it at 9:30.
Uh-huh.
Ready at 6, done by 9:30.
Drag your raggedy butt out of bed a little earlier, dude.
Now you're gonna tell me I need to go to bed earlier while I'm in Vegas, right?
We can't sit down here waiting for you all day. I mean, you should be able to spend your money at night and then get down here in the morning. Okay, here. Power outlets should be on both sides of the bed. There you go.
Well, that's simply caused by the fact that a lot of hotels have not really updated. They haven't updated their rooms in a long time. They're still stuck in the 70s, and they come up with some sort of tricky way to give you one, but not two. Or better yet, mine is that there is a plug available, but it is sandwiched behind the nightstand in such a way that you can't get to it unless you've got baby arms.
Okay, here's another pet peeve, baby arms. Here's another pet peeve. Do not disturb hangers that fall off when you close the door. I run into this a lot. You put the hanger on the door and you close it and it falls down onto the ground.
Right.
Or if you're
agreed.
It's on the other side of the door, and when you close it, it's constantly on the floor in front of the door. My number one pet peeve is when they don't have a way to buy a soda or snack 24 hours a day. This is more prevalent the nicer the hotel. How hard is it to have a vending machine or a snack cubby somewhere? Here's another one. When there isn't a guide or channel list for the TV. And when they do have power available, but the outlets are so worn, nothing will stay plugged in. This is happening with increasing regularity.
Oh, yeah. You plug it in and then it just falls out.
I don't know
how they get that way.
Blinking lights in the room like a smoke detector or other devices. Air conditionings that have a reoccurring bang or other noise. Let's see. I travel with my daughter often. Those non-private bathrooms are ridiculous. This is why I never even look at a W hotel anymore. I don't stay at W hotels, but apparently all the ones that have been recently redesigned or built have these kind of semi-private bathrooms. They're not – there's not a closing – bathroom door. There's kind of a panel, you know, a frosted panel that and it's weird. I've read about it more than one place now, and
well,
so
does yeah, you know, I it's similar, and I think this is what we're talking about. A lot of bathrooms in hotel rooms, the sink and the area where, let's say, the wife wants to put on her makeup and so forth, and or shave or whatever is not separate from where the toilet is. The toilet is in the same room. It should be in a separate place.
If your wife needs to shave in the morning, I'm going to suggest you have bigger problems. yes, exactly. And how much help is that when you're... See, I'm often traveling with Tyler, who is... my assistant, and because I have a medical issue, so he travels with me, and oftentimes we're in the same room, so it's two guys. We get up in the morning and we both got to shower and shave and all that stuff. How much helpful is it to have the sink outside of the bathroom? Because yes. Then, as you're just saying, that if there's two people in the room, husband and wife, whatever, then it's a lot easier. You stuff all that stuff inside a cubicle, and now they're not even enclosing the cubicles. So if you're traveling with a friend or somebody like that, I mean, you know, come on. I mean, there's just a limited amount of privacy would seem to be appropriate. Okay, here's some more. If you're just joining us, you're listening to The Travel Guys. We're about 4 minutes before the end of the program. Here and glad you joined us. We're talking about frequent pet peeves of people who stay in hotels. The next one is door slammers. The comment that follows it is they should be beaten. Senseless. The next comment is agreed with their heads inside the door jamb and the door repeatedly applied to the offender's head. People who get up and who pay no attention to the fact that other people, there's 20 other rooms on the floor, doesn't matter where you're staying, you leave at 5:30 in the morning and your door slams, you're going to wake everybody on the floor up. And you come in at night at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, your door slams, you're going to wake everybody up. So just think about that next time you... Room service. Service fee plus automatic gratuity plus a big empty line for another tip. The $12 hamburger ended up costing me $21. Sofas, couches, carpets with visible stains.
Oh, boy.
Yipers. Things left over from previous guests under the bed. Let's see here. Adults in the hallway yelling and making noise.
I prefer beds that don't have an under. They're on a pedestal.
Oh, okay.
Something I check. Go for it.
We were in Newport, Oregon last week with a group, and at the Elizabeth Street Inn, a really nice hotel, the beds are on what you're talking about, the pedestals like that, and you can't. They're so high. I mean, I'm 5'8", and I can barely make it because I've got repaired hips. So if, like, you know, some of the ladies that are like 5'3 or 5'4", they talk about getting a running start on the other side of the room.
To be able to jump up on the
and
bed.
And leaping into the bed. Yeah, exactly. Let's see here. Yeah, adults in the hallway yelling and making noise in the middle of the night, straight to jail. People on speakerphone in the hallway, get in your room. Let's see. Being able to hear the TV in the next room. Yes, I agree. That's a little bit aggravating. Here's one. Kids playing football, soccer, kickball in the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
I cringe when I walk into a hotel and I see kids' sports teams. Sorry, parents, but do better and keep your kids quiet when it's late. Yeah, you know, if it's 8 o'clock at night and the kids are running around and they've got those atrium lobbies like in the embassy suites and stuff, and so the noise really amplifies. So it's understandable until a certain time in the evening. And then there's comments about, you know, previous guests set the alarm clock and nobody unset it, so it goes off at 5:30 in the morning. The housekeeper on the last day knocking on the door at 7:30. Sir, are you checking out today? You know, and you're still asleep. Anyway, just some fun things that I thought would be worth sharing there, but especially the people who yell in the middle of the night or who slam the doors in a hotel. Think about the other people.
Yes.
And think about the fact that you really should dance when nobody's watching. We'll see you next week.
All right, my friends. Thanks for joining us. See you next Saturday at 11 a.m.